This is Just Women, every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on Brooklands Radio.
I'm really, really pleased to say that I've got a lovely guest on the show today, and her name is Catherine James. And for the purpose of the book, she's called Catherine James, the book that she's written. But she's also known in the business world for a company called Copy That Sells as Catherine Ledger, as she has a storytelling consultancy. Now, I'm really excited to have Catherine on the show because she's written this amazing book, which she's going to tell you all about. And Catherine, welcome to Just Women.
Oh, thank you for having me. I'm so glad to be here.
It's fantastic to have you here. And I'm really looking forward to getting into talking about the book. But before we do, could you just give, for the sake of our listeners, a little bit of background about yourself and how you came to be doing what you're doing today?
Yeah, well, I relaunched a book I wrote last year called The Story of Hope, and it's a hero's journey through depression to coincide with World Mental Health Day, which is in October the 10th. So basically, it's good that people are thinking about mental health, but obviously we all know it's not just for one day, but for every day. So I've actually had depression for most of my life, and I've got a big heart for helping people who are struggling. And it's not been really diagnosed until my 30s, really. So when I was a child, I was really anxious. I used to creep into my mum and dad's large walk-in attic and read stories to encourage me, the Chronicles of Narnia, Wizard of Oz, and Cinderella, and those types of books. And I thought, well, if those heroes could overcome incredible hardships with their magic wands and ruby slippers, then so can I. And I thought, well, one day I might find myself on this princess in the attic, but I might get discovered. But I'd nurtured the belief I can rewrite a new and happier story for my life if I chose. And a sad story can be changed for a better one. But fast forwarding to my 30s, when I was working as a marketing manager, landing a dream job in a telecoms company, which actually involved 4.5 hours commuting every day into work, which started to make me feel a bit burnt out. But one Monday night, I was working late, stepped off the train. My husband came to pick me up and he looked ashen-faced. And I said, what's wrong? And he said, I can't tell you. We need to get you home. And I've got some news to tell you. And I thought, oh, dear, what's going to happen now? So he bundled me home, sat me in a chair with a cup of hot sweet tea, which I detest hot sweet tea. I don't like it. I thought, what's coming? And he told me there had been a tragic family death. My brother, and he was my soulmate. So we're like two peas in a pod. And I don't know, my world just caved in. I felt like a shadow, not a real human being anymore. Light, the sound, the colour, everything disappeared out of my life. And that's what a meltdown is like. And people just avoided me. As they saw me in the coffee room, they scurried away, didn't know what to say because mental health is a taboo subject. Went to a counsellor. The counsellor fell asleep on me. I thought, I'm never going back. So what I did was I buried that depression for 14 years. And I just didn't think about it. I became a workaholic to cover up the pain and always thought that life would always be a struggle and there was nothing I could do about it. I just have to put up with it. So 7 years ago, the depression I'd been pushing under the surface bubbled up and hit me when I was looking out of a big window in a big corporate office. And I looked out, everybody's having a great time. And it was sunny out there. And I was stuck behind this window working hard. And I remembered I'd done some work with some young people with mental health issues in the past, training them to be leaders. And they told me that being depressed felt like being covered by a thick black cloak. The thick black blanket, actually, and they actually felt trapped and invisible. And that's exactly how I felt. So I looked for a book to help me deal with that dilemma and become the hero of my life. But I couldn't find it anywhere. So I thought, this is the book I have to write myself. I crept out onto a bench outside and in the lunch breaks, and I just wrote it. And the words just flowed out of my pen. It just had to come out. It's a story of hope, a journey from despair to freedom. So after writing the book, something else happened. I fell out the loft, broke my back. I was incapacitated for about a year. And I thought, you know what? I can't go back to being a marketing employee and or contractor. That story would not end well. now is the time to take control. I'm fed up of being miserable, and I want to exchange this sad life for a happier one, find a new beginning. So I published the book to sort of help people who are faced with that type of thing, where they're stuck and they just don't like their life and they want to have a better life. So that's why I wrote the book.
That's amazing. So your emotions were just coming to the surface again, and the writing was clearly a huge outlet and a cathartic exercise for you. I mean, and you're right, you know, depression is something, it can stay with us, but we disguise it and we hide it.
Yeah.
So you started writing the book, and obviously it's complete now. And I was looking at some of the reviews that you've got. You've got some lovely reviews. So how long did it take you to write your book?
Oddly, it probably took me about 2 or 3 months, because it's a fairly short book, because I didn't want to make a long book, which people would find hard to read if they were struggling with their concentration during depression. But it's got a very deep meaning. But I was tinkering with it for another few years after that. But I did actually get an illustrator self-published, but I got an illustrator to accompany each of the chapters with a beautiful piece of art. So that took longer. So I didn't really publish it for another 5 years after I wrote it. Mm.
So talking about the publishing, Catherine, because there's going to be a lot of would-be authors out there. So self-publishing, was that an easy process for you?
I found it quite hard because the book world is complicated. So if you are self-publishing, it does take time. So you could find somebody to self-publish it for you. Do some investigation, find someone that will suit what you're doing. You know, they know about illustrations and that type of thing, or whether a designer or coming in from a different place. We could use a publishing company, but if you do that, you'll lose the rights of your book, which I didn't want. I want to take my book where I want it to go. So I wanted to, that's why I chose a self-publishing route, but I would recommend doing a bit of research.
It's very strange, isn't it? Because years ago, if you self-published, it wasn't deemed the right thing to do, but now it's more popular than ever, isn't it? And it's very.
I think actually J.K. Rowling even has self-published, because what happens, the publisher takes so much, you know, of the royalties, and you're really left with, you know, not as much choice about where you can promote the book as well. Mm.
And I think having that freedom when you've put so much into a book, which you obviously have. And I know you spoke briefly about the illustration, and the illustration is beautiful. It's really beautiful. It's unusual, and it draws you in. You've got, if I can describe it, you've got a woman in a black cloak walking away. So she's got her back to us. I'm assuming it's a woman.
Yeah. Yes, it is. Yeah.
And then you've got these lovely snowdrops. Is it snowdrops? She's walking into a misty line of trees, and it's beautiful. I can't, it's hard to describe, but it really does draw you in. It has that effect. But Catherine, we need to talk about the content of the book. Did you say that you had an excerpt that you would like to read out?
Yes, I would. As I said, it's a short book, deliberately done so, because it's got a very deep message, and it's to make people think about different stages of this journey through depression. So I'll choose the second chapter, which is despair. And it's got a picture of someone with their head in their hands, you know, with the cloak on, and just can't face anything. So I'll start with that chapter, chapter 2, despair. Hope is in despair. Born into a world of opportunity, she cannot grasp hold of it and make it her own. She has searched her whole life long for it. It's in the storybooks and fairy tales, which always seem to have a happy ending. She doubts she will ever find it. She so desperately wants it. Despite how sad and empty she feels today, she puts on her cloak to go and look for it. It's a really short... The chapters get longer as the book goes on. And at the end, the hero's hope, she explains what she's learned at each stage of the journey.
I like the way you've brought when you spoke about going in the attic when you were a child, you've brought a little bit of the fairy tale into it somehow, have you? Does that go through the book?
Yeah, I have, but I think it's sort of Cinderella's, there's some influence there, Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, a bit of Wizard of Oz, but the journey is kind of a lot of these fairy tales. So going away on a journey, encountering obstacles, and then overcoming them by finding allies and a mentor, and then coming back wiser, back to the beginning again. That's the kind of classic way that hero stories kind of pan out.
And is there a slightly spiritual element to this as well, do you feel?
Yeah, I think if someone's got a faith that they hold on to, that be the Christian faith, it could be something else, where they get a voice speaks to them, you know, through the Bible or whatever else, and this mentor guides them and helps them and believes in them. So yes, it's got a big sort of spiritual element, definitely.
Yeah, it does. That's how it comes across to me. Yeah. Which is wonderful. And obviously, you know, mental health is such a big subject at the moment.
Yeah, so many people. It's a gentle way of looking at depression. And it's also encouraging people to write their own story. It's because at the end, it sort of says, this is Hope's story, but you've got a story and it's your destiny and time to write it. It's tied in with the seasons. So the hero goes through spring, summer, autumn, winter, and learns different things through that. So going out into nature in through the different seasons is actually very therapeutic for mental health. So it's got a bit of that, and self-care, going to bed, getting rest, preparing for the journey and all that sort of thing. So the cloak kind of becomes, instead of a black cloak, ends up becoming a light cloak, you know. And I think the cloak is confidence. If you put your confidence on and believe you've got it, then you can do anything.
Yeah. Oh, that's so lovely. And you spoke about nature just now. It's so big at the moment, isn't it? The topic of nature, yeah. Because during lockdown, you know, that was all that we had, really. We weren't allowed to go very far. But nature is everything. Even though we said that was all we had, it is everything, isn't it? Because without that, we're nothing.
Yeah, I've slowed the whole world down. You can go out and see a butterfly or something. You can kind of notice things in bird singing, notice things you didn't see and hear before. So that's one good thing that's come out of COVID. There's a lot of other things not so good. Yes. The isolation hasn't been good. But oddly enough, although it was written about this girl in the attic, it coincided with between lockdowns, and it was never intended. I didn't know it was going to be that because I wrote it a few years earlier. But it adds a bit of meaning because we've all been locked up and we are sort of these heroes that kind of, you know, cut off from the world. So it's time to make, you know, go on our journey. And although the world's changed, we can write a new story within that changed world.
And so during that process, Catherine, because a lot of people get writer's block, did you have writer's block at all, or did it just flow as you said?
I didn't with that book, but I do think that if you're writing, especially if you're writing a big book, you've got to allow time to, you know, get inspired by things, you go and switch off now and again. Don't just sit there staring at the screen because the words won't come. But I think just always carry a little book around with you and write down in it. That's what I did. And, you know, the part of writing a book is actually editing it and polishing it and fine-tuning it, maybe showing it to a few trusted friends. So you're making time for that. But, yeah, I do get writer's block. I don't know about you, but, you know, yourself with your wonderful work. But I just have to be inspired and feel the emotion before I write. And I can't just write if haven't got that. So I have to kind of rekindle it.
There's a huge amount of discipline when you're writing.
Yeah, it's harder than you think. I mean, if you're writing a bigger book, you've got to allow, you know, just write and write and write and just think, well, I can go back to it and polish it later. But if you just leave it for a few weeks, months, it'll never happen.
So, Catherine, talking about, we've only got a few minutes left now, and obviously I want to get your contact details in for the sake of our listeners. They want to know how to get hold of you and how they can get hold of the book. But before we do, when did you first realise that words had a power?
I kind of think that words tell us things, teach us something. So if you write, you get the answers yourself. You find that you can answer your own questions. So keeping a journal is actually quite a good thing, and it's in the book actually. But it's really important to draw strength from go back and look at what you've written and think, well, actually, I'm learning something about myself here, and it's so cathartic and it's so healing to write. It really is. Would it be all right if I just mention about COVID and what people are going through? Because during that time, I actually suffered two bereavements, my mum and a best friend, and also lots of family worries and business things that were going on as well. So all that stuff happened concentrated. But because I had this hero's journey I'd written, it was a lot easier. So it's good to look after our mental health and not just, you know, not think about it, because basically we're going to need those resources if multiple things do happen to us, which life will throw at us, because that's what happens in life. So yeah, I just wanted to slip that thing in because I think it's important that people realize that.
Oh, I think it's really important, Catherine. It's such a strong message, and it feels that the book that you've written is going to help a lot of people, a lot of people that can relate to what you've been through, because you've obviously been through so much loss and trauma, as many people have through COVID, sadly, and a lot of people went through it all at once, which is very unusual, you know. And in this world, we haven't been through something like this for a long, long time, not since the Second World War, really, not exactly. On this scale. Yeah. Yeah, but Catherine, we've only got seconds left.
Right. But so really, I tell you where to get the book?
Yes, yeah. Need to get hold, and how people can get hold of you in the book. Yes, please.
I've got a website called thestoryofhope.co.uk. And in there is some links to Amazon, Waterstones, everywhere. It's on widely available online books, bookshops. It's also available physically from Saturday in a bookshop called P&G Wells in Winchester. My contact details are catherine@copythatsells.co.uk. And people can reach me on there if they want to know about my business or about the book. So I just hope it helps someone.
It's a great place to have your book, PG Wells, because it's Jane Austen area.
Yeah.
Congratulations on the release of your book. And I wish you lots of success, Catherine. And thank you so much for coming on to Just Women.
Thank you. It was written last year, but I've relaunched it for World Mental Health Awareness Day and beyond. But thank you so much. I appreciate the time you've spent with me.
Thank you. And I encourage the listeners to go and buy that lovely book. Thank you, Catherine.
Thank you.
You're listening to Just Women on Brooklands Radio.